In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. O Lady Fatima,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
Father Lanteri,
pray for us.
St. Ignatius of Loyola,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Well, good evening. This is a seventh grade class in which they are called to write an essay. And the essay was going to be 3 to 4 pages on the most famous living person that they admired. This was about, let's say about maybe 15 or 20 years ago. So one boy wrote an article, an essay on Michael Jordan, one of the greatest athletes 15 years ago. There was another little boy that wrote an article on Michael Jackson, one of the most famous rock and roll stars. He died about 5 years ago. Another boy wrote an essay on Jesus Christ. The teacher publicly rebuked him and said, I told you to write an essay on a living person. And the little boy said, Jesus Christ is risen, alleluia. So that's our topic today. Jesus Christ is risen. Hallelujah. That's our topic. So last week you meditated upon the passion of Christ, right?
Yes.
His passion, his death, his suffering, in which you meditated on how much Jesus suffered this for you and for me. It wasn't simply an action that was done 2,000 years ago that had no repercussions on my life. On the contrary, you meditate upon the reality that Jesus suffered and died for you. And we gave Marcelina Panavino as an example, that as this little boy entered into dialogue with Jesus on the cross, and he died to be taken up to the Blessed Mother. So that is an icon or a model for all of you. They're called to be like Marcelina Panavina, entering that personal dialogue with Jesus Christ. Hopefully that's happened during these exercises. Has it?
Yes.
You're learning to get to know Christ, to love him, to be willing to follow him more closely. He's the very center of our lives. As you meditate upon the eighth week, when you're meditating upon the luminous mysteries. But last week we were able to see how much he really suffered and died for all of us. And if he had to die, suffer and die for all of us, he'd do it again 1,000 times. If you're the only person in the world, how much God loves us. But the last word is not death. The last word is Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. That's the last word. Jesus Christ has died. Jesus Christ has risen. Jesus Christ will come again. We're saying the Mass after the consecration of the Mass, right? Hopefully, Mass is becoming more alive, more important in your lives. One of the exercises to draw us gradually into a deeper sacramental life. I hope that all of you, at least trying to go to Mass on a daily basis. Are you? at least half of you, hopefully the others who are were mute when I asked that question, will be open to trying to go to Mass, daily Mass, when you can. Be open to that. Because, you know, in the Mass, I mean, even after we finish meditation upon the luminous mysteries, I spoke more on the importance of the Mass. One of the greatest miracles is this. Right now, you're in historical time and place. You're in St. Peter Schnell Wine Gardens, and maybe some of you would have enough courage to even tell how old you are, okay? Okay? St. Peter Schnell Wine Gardens, 61 years and 5 months. Okay, someone has that age here, okay? Okay? Maybe it's one of you. If it's not one of you, it surely is me, okay? But the interesting thing about this, Angie, is this. In the host, you've got the baby Jesus. In the host, you've got the teenage Jesus. In the host, you've got the 30-year-old Jesus. In the host, you got Jesus hanging from the cross. In the host, you got the risen Jesus Christ. For me, that's one of the greatest miracles you have in the world. All the different historical, chronological stages of Christ is present in every consecrated host. When I talk with my mother, because she's had many children and many grandchildren, she says she likes to imagine Jesus Christ as a child. Unless you become like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Do any of you have any children? Well, imagine Jesus Christ as a child. Some of you are grandparents. No? Imagining Jesus Christ as a child. But the topic today is not Jesus Christ as a child, Jesus Christ risen from the dead. So after Holy Communion, you can sit down and imagine that you got Jesus Christ, 33 years old, in your heart, risen from the dead with his wounds. With his wounds. There he is, within you, blessing you in his risen and glorified body. There's no reason why you can't do that when you go to Holy Mass. Now, I doubt any of you have ever done that before, but you might try the next time you go to Holy Communion. Jesus is risen from the dead. He's calling you to rise to new life. If we only understood what Mass is, we'd die of love. If we understood just a little bit about what Mass is, we'd die of love. And we'd never leave off Holy Mass. We see Holy Mass as the very center of our lives. You know, Kristen, I think I could do this. If I were to ask to preach a different homily on the Holy Mass every Sunday for all the Sundays of the year, I'd be able to do it. I think easily. Without too much preparation. This is a beautiful diamond. You know, you place a diamond, expose a diamond. You know what refraction is? And the sun goes through the diamond. It looks like a rainbow. A rainbow of light, right? That's what Jesus Christ is. So we're going to focus today on Jesus Christ risen from the dead. But every Mass, Jesus is risen from the dead. He wants to rise up in you. He wants you to be renewed. He wants you to leave the tomb that maybe you're living in years, months ago. Lazarus, come on out. Maria, come on out. Mary, come on out. Father Broom, come on out. Kristen, come on out. Mimi, come on out. And live in the light of the life of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So, this week is Easter. Happy Easter.
Thank you.
Feliz Pascua. ¿Habla español? Feliz Pascua. No, Angie? Feliz Pascua. Happy Easter. So don't think about bunnies and Easter eggs. We don't want to think so much about that. That's paganism, right? We don't want to go beyond that. You know, don't gorge yourself with chocolate this week, okay? Going back to gluttony, huh? We don't want to go back to gluttony, do we? We've left it behind, right? Stay, is there a seat for him? I think there is, yeah. I was listening to Immaculate Heart Radio, and Patrick Madrid was speaking about this priest that struggled with overeating, and he had breakfast, and he had lunch, and then it was, I guess, mid-afternoon, and he was just getting up and sauntering over to the refrigerator, and he wasn't even hungry. He opened up the door of the refrigerator, and he heard the voice, interior voice, in which he heard, "God is not present in the refrigerator."
That's neat.
God is not present in the refrigerator, no? I like that story. But God is present in the tabernacle, right?
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
He's present in the tabernacle, okay? So we're going to be celebrating Easter today. Not Easter eggs, but rather Jesus is truly risen from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Okay. And the grace you're going to be begging for, grace or fruit you're going to be begging for, is the following. Intensísimo gozo. How's your Spanish? Malo o bueno?
Muy bueno.
Okay, muy bueno, okay. Intensísimo gozo. Intensísimo gozo. How's your Spanish? It's called the superlative. You know what the superlative means? Good, better, best. So it means, istimo means, it means the best. Okay? So you're begging for the most intense joy. Not a few drops, but an ocean. Amen?
Amen.
Ocean, drops. Big difference, right? You're begging for an ocean of joy is going to just be flooding your soul. Inundating your soul. They're beautiful. It's a beautiful fruit we're going to be begging for. So we're celebrating Easter this week. You happy?
Yes.
I thought so. See, he's happy. Celebrating Easter. So we're going to be begging for the most intense joy. So what I'm going to do today, for lack of time, is I'm going to give you a contemplation. I'm going to be walking with you through our last contemplation. But a few words on perseverance. Do you know what perseverance means? You know what it is, but you know the word is, but it's hard to put into practice, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Lots of patience.
Perseverance means that you run the race until the very end. And you don't give up. Now let me tell you this. I'm going to be serious with you, honest with you. Okay, this is our last session. Now for you to persevere in meditation, unless you have a special grace, you're not going to persevere. It's too hard. too hard, unless you've got a will of iron and you already have a spiritual network that you have already programmed. Because of all the groups you've ever done in any parishes, obviously this was the most demanding, right? By far, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is the most demanding. And I've asked my helpers more than once, should I try to lower the bar? Should I, Kristen?
No. Nope.
Mimi?
Nope.
Mary? Lower the bar in the sense that maybe just a half hour meditation and you can skip the general confession, and my helpers almost, they gently rebuked me, right? Thank you. Because to persevere in prayer is very difficult. To persevere in mental prayer and meditation is very, very difficult. Very difficult. But listen to me now. If you don't persevere, in a very short time, you're going to go back to being a mediocre Catholic. So all of you, in a month, you want to be mediocre Catholics, right?
No,
you just want to be, you know, maybe you're just overdoing it these 10 weeks. You know, that Father Wong, he's a fanatic anyway. It's in chief lab, you know, a little bit. He's a little bit chief lab. He's a little bit kind of, you know, he goes overboard a little bit, you know. You just have to just go back to be a normal person, right? Don't you want to be a normal person rather than a fanatic? Be normal. You don't have to do these exercises anymore. You're finished with it. Father Broom is not supervising. You're facilitating, not calling on the phone anymore. Just be a normal person now. Be normal. Don't be a fanatic. Maybe use a little bit of sarcasm with a purpose, because it's very easy, little by little, to drift back to the old way of living, which was the easy life. I've been given this course for 10 years, so I have a little bit of experience, and I know, and I'll ask people, after I see people after a year or 2 years or 3 years, are you still doing your holy hour? Oh, I'm sorry, Father. Did you hear about how the Yankees lost today, 7-6 against? It was against Toronto. Thanks a lot. Okay, but let's get back to your holy hour. Okay? See how that person changed the topic, huh? How he changed the topic, huh? Mm-hmm. Father, what's your favorite food? Changed the topic, huh? So my question now is, are you going to try to persevere? You have to try to decide right now whether or not you're just going to go back to be back to the Church of Nice, as Michael Voris calls it, or are you going to try to fight the good fight and persevere in the narrow path? You want to persevere? I would say maybe do the exercise again in about 5 weeks. We'll be starting in about 5 weeks. Also, try to get some type of spiritual direction. Okay? We have spiritual companions that, if you want some type of spiritual, we have spiritual companions. They're lay people that have been trained, and you can sign up, and we'll give you one within a week or two. And if you have a spiritual companion, you've got accountability. What does that mean? Accountability, like if you come to me and for spiritual direction, one of the first things I'm going to say, how's your holy hour going? And obviously say, what's the purpose of coming to me for spiritual direction if after everything we've given you in this 10-way program, you've given up the holy hour? What's the purpose? You know, purpose. Are you going to do your holy hour perfect? No, because perfection does not exist in this world. You have to go to your holy hour, at least try to keep growing in your prayer life. You got to try. We have a perseverance class. We're going to be on break for a couple of months because I'm kind of coming and going. But we'll be starting in September. Come to that course in which we'll give you a talk. And Mary writes out points for meditation for all the Gospels of the week. So you have your built-in meditations. It's too late now, but in a couple of weeks we're going to be going on an 8-day Ignatian retreat in El Hambra. Already it's booked, and we have a waiting list already. Wow. People really want to make this 8-day retreat. We already have a lot of people that are going, but maybe next year you can go. There's a young man who's going to be a deacon and priest, and he said he wants to make it. I say, okay, well, maybe come next year. We'll put this deacon, almost priest, maybe let him come next year, right, Mary?
Once a year.
Yeah. It's an 8-day retreat. 8-day retreat, you'll be able to meditate 5 hours a day for 8 days. That means 40 meditations. But you're by yourself. I give 4 relatively short talks. There's daily mass. There's silence. Silence in the sense that there's no talking in between the talks. And it's in Alhambra. We have the Carmelite nuns there. Right down the street, you got the Church of St. Therese, where you have adoration around the clock. So try to see if you can maybe make a retreat. 5-day, maybe 8-day retreat. We were going to have a holy hour this weekend, but I confused the schedule. I've got 2 weddings almost back to back. We won't have enough time for that. But we will schedule holy hours and masses when we have time. It's not a bad idea to buy books. I mean, I've got my books there, but also Father Tim Gallagher has written books on Ignatian spiritual. You can buy those books on consolation and desolation, on the daily examine, on the oblates. He's written about 10 books. You can maybe buy that. That will help you to get to know Ignatian spirituality better. So those are some tips on persevering so that you don't drop by the wayside, but rather persevere until the end. Okay. There we have our pitch on trying to encourage all of you to persevere, not to give up the race. All right, having said that, I'm going to give you 1 Easter contemplation. I'd like to enumerate the Easter resurrections, but I want to give you one and just highlight, expound upon one for lack of time. Your first meditation is going to be Jesus who appeared first to the Blessed Mother. Okay. If you are Protestant, hopefully you're not, okay? Okay. No tenacata di protestante, okay? Okay, if you're not a Protestant, and this probably won't offend. If you're a Protestant, you put up the dukes to fight me. First person that Jesus appeared to was the Blessed Mother. It's a Protestant, okay? Some might think, well, Father, that's not in the Bible. I've never read that in the Bible, Father, show that to me. You're not going to find it in the Bible. Well, we believe it anyway. Obviously, Jesus would first appear to his mother. She's the only one that didn't doubt, right? So that one you're going to have to try to imagine how it was. Utilize your imagination. All of you have an imagination, right? I imagine it this way, as Mary's praying fervently, the first streaks of dawn, the sun is coming out, the first streaks of dawn go through the window, and as the sun is rising, Jesus enters into the room where Mary is and embraces her. It's the way I see. And then from there are many, many things you can imagine that they would have said to each other. Let your imagination run wild on that, okay? Then he appeared to Mary Magdalene early in the morning. Then at night he appeared, the apostles were closed in the upper room for fear of the Jews coming in and doing to them what they did to Jesus, petrified with fear. But the one I like to focus upon is his apparition in the afternoon. Do you have your hiking boots on? Looks like some of you have, okay? Ready to take a walk?
Sure.
You up to it? We're going to take a 7-mile walk. You ready? 7-mile walk. Strong enough? How about you? Kind of? No? And then piggybacking along the way? This is the appearance of our Lord to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. So I'd like to go through some points. First is that they are walking away from Jerusalem. Not toward Jerusalem, but they're walking away from Jerusalem. They're walking away from the church. Don't do that. Don't do that. The church has always had problems. Church always will have problems. Do you know what? The one of the first priests and bishops in the church, he actually hanged himself. His name was Judas Iscariot. Ever hear of him? Didn't start out very well, did it? No. That was about 2,000 years ago. So the church has always gone through problems. I encourage you, instead of criticizing the church, become a saint. Easy to point your finger at the church. Hardly become a saint. Become a saint. Become a saint, you're going to be uplifting the church. Saint Therese says, either we lift the church up or we tear the church down. What are you going to do? Hopefully you're going to lift the church up by becoming holy. Jesus said, be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. They're walking away from the church. Okay, do you know the name of these two people that are walking?
Cleophas.
The other one is unnamed because it's supposed to be you. A name because it's supposed to be Kristen and Mimi, yeah. You're walking. It's probably St. Luke. But anyway, it's unnamed. The Gospel of Luke, right? Probably was St. Luke. But it's supposed to be you. And they are there. It's not a peaceful walk or conversation, they're arguing among themselves. They're arguing. They don't agree. Because what happened is Jesus had risen from the dead, And some of these women, wives' tales. You know what the wife tale is?
Hearsay.
Hearsay. Well, that's probably a lie. Just heard it. They don't really believe what this Mary Magdalene, these other women said. So they're kind of fighting over this. All of a sudden, this man comes in out of nowhere, this stranger. He starts to walk with him. This stranger starts to walk with him, with them. And the stranger pays a lot of attention to these sad, depressed, confused individuals. And he says to them, "What are you talking about?" They say, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about Jesus or Nazareth?" He says, "What things?" Do you think Jesus didn't know what happened to him? Think he was taken by surprise? Think he was the only person who didn't know what happened in Jerusalem in those days? He purposely said what things because he wanted them to go deep within their hearts and to bring to him all that was going on in their lives. Shouldn't you do that also? Aren't you called to do that? That's the reason why. That's why you're that anonymous individual is you. You're called to bring that to Jesus. He says, "What things? Tell me what's going on in your life. Tell me your confusion. Tell me your sorrows. Tell me your wounds. Tell me your struggles. Tell me your failures. Tell me your dreams. Tell me your hopes. Tell me." So that question that Jesus said 2,000 years ago, he's saying that to you right now. And if you respond to that, your lives are going to be transformed. Don't be afraid to open up and talk to Jesus. Talk to him as your best friend. As John Paul II said in his pontificate, Redemptor Omnium, it's Christ who reveals us to ourselves. We are a mystery to ourselves, but Jesus reveals to us who we are. He reveals to us who we are. So they open up and they talk to him. They tell him what's going on. They tell him their confusion. They tell him what they thought about happened on Good Friday, but they can't make heads or tails of what really happened. It's a mystery for them. And they're opening up and they are just pouring out of their minds, out of their hearts. Until finally he intervenes and he starts to speak. And they're saying to themselves, this is the best listener we've ever met in our lives. Great listener. Are you listening? I hope you are. Great listener. But then he opens up and he speaks. And they never heard anyone speak like this man before. His kindness, his knowledge of Scripture, his knowledge of this person, Jesus Christ, his love that he has for the Word of God. But they will experience that this stranger really cared for them. more than anyone else that I ever met. He really cared for them, if I can say it, he really loved them. So they start out this long trip with a profound desolation, and this cloud of desolation is like a cloud that is disappearing. They're no longer desolation, but now they're in consolation. And they arrive at their destination. But it looks like this stranger pilgrim has an appointment somewhere down the road. So almost like he has to meet someone down the road. But they say, hey, stay with us. Stay with us because the day is over. The sun is going down. Stay with us. Now when they hear these words, when he hears this word, stay with us, he hears and he accepts the invitation. You know, God respects our free will. He respects your free will. He's not going to force himself upon you. He's not going to knock your door down. He's going to knock. But you have to open up to him. Revelation chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever opens up to me, I will sit down and dine with him, and he'll dine with me. To the church of Laodicea. Revelation, the seven churches of Asia Minor. No? He's knocking at the door. Are you going to open up to him? Here's a painter, Holman Hunt, who painted Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knocking at the door. Good Shepherd knocking at the door. Someone came up to the painter and said, you're a good painter, but you're not very, you don't have common sense, because you painted Jesus with a staff in your hand knocking the door, but there's no doorknob. And Holman Hunt said, yes, there is. It's inside. That's your heart. It has to be opened up from inside in and not outside. It's knocking at the door of your heart. Are you going to open up? Now's the time. Lord, I'm too busy. I hope you don't say that. The interesting is that we're too busy for him. But he's never too busy for us. How humble God is. We're too busy for him because we have these really important activities. Really important activities. Too busy for him. He's never too busy for us. Hopefully, as you end these exercises, you're not going to say, Lord, I'm too busy. As the gospel passage today ends, in which those in the Gadarenes said, Lord, leave our town. Hopefully you're never going to say that. What a terrible thing, right? Any of you go to Mass today? Any of you hear my homily? Lord, how terrible that is. Lord, get out of here, basically they were saying. The disciples then wrote to them, they said the exact opposite. Lord, come with us. Hopefully we're never going to say, Lord, leave me. Never say that. Isn't that mortal sin, though? Isn't that mortal sin? We're asking Jesus to leave us by our mortal sin. We want to accept him. Did he accept our invitation? Did he?
Yep.
So let's try to picture what happened when they say, stay with us, Lord, because the sun is going down. They arrive at this little house. They've been walking about 7 miles. Ever walk 7 miles? Never in your life, huh? Ever run cross country? 7 miles. Getting a 605 when you're walking from here to Pico Rivera, huh? It's a long walk. You're not in your car there with air conditioning, drinking Coca-Cola. I mean, you're just walking in a dusty street. It's hot, it's humid. But they're not even aware of the distance or the heat because they're walking with this wonderful, wonderful stranger. They arrive at the house. Una casita. Small house. Small cottage. And I see it this way. They arrive and there's a table. Kind of dusty. Maybe when you arrive you can kind of dust it off. Okay? Get the dust off. Then there are 3 chairs, they're a little bit dusty also, you get the dust off the chairs. And then after the table has been dusted off, the chair has been dusted off, symbolic of sin, you know, dusting our souls off, good confession, huh? There's some bread. So this stranger takes the initiative he sees the bread. And he takes the bread. He blesses the bread. He breaks the bread. Then he gives the bread. The present continuous tense. You've got 5 verbs there in the present tense. All related to the bread. Takes, blesses, breaks, and gives. I'll repeat that. He takes the bread in his hands. He blesses the bread with his hands. He breaks the bread with his hands. He gives the bread with his hands. Did you ever hear those words before? Angie, did you? When?
It's not where it should. Communion.
So every time we celebrate Mass, right?
Yes.
So every time we celebrate Mass, you hear those words again. I've said those words. What's 365 times 31. But I would say 2 times a day, so maybe add it 365 times 31 and a half. But sometimes I celebrate 2 masses a day, so I've said the words many times. But those words were first said by Jesus Christ, not by me. You've heard those words. Take. He took. He blesses. He breaks. And he gives. What happens then? Their eyes are open and they recognize him in the breaking the bread. But then he disappears. After all this long process, he does it, then he disappears. Are they sad?
No.
Or are they happy? A little bit of happiness or a lot of happiness? Filled with joy. It's exactly what you're going to be begging for, to be filled with joy. No poquito. Muchísimo. Not a little bit, but a lot. Not a lot, but just a deluge of joy. So he disappears. But does he really disappear? Traditional Catholic interpretations of that, Bible studies, say that that was the second Mass of Jesus Christ. When was the first? So the first Mass was the Last Supper, right? When was that? 3 days earlier, right? Isn't this? This is Easter Sunday. This is Easter Sunday. This would be in
Thursday night,
but this is Easter Sunday in the evening. Yeah, this is everything I'm talking about today. Mary, the Blessed Mother, Mary Magdalene, the road to Emmaus, all this happens on Easter Sunday. He's going to appear even later on to the apostles in the upper room. So you had four apparitions on Easter that we believe, maybe more. We know of four. But he disappears from their presence, and they were filled with joy. Now, if you're walking 7 miles and it's evening, you probably want a big meal, probably want to go to bed. Right? See some tired eyes this evening, okay? Probably want to go to bed. So after that, they went to bed and they said, we'll get up tomorrow and we'll walk the 7 miles back. Is that what happened?
No.
No? Are you sure about that? What did they do?
Same day?
So when they were that same evening, they went back. They were really tired, right? Kind of dragging their feet. When they returned, they probably walked twice as fast. Could it be that seeing Jesus, but also consuming that consecrated bread, gave them energy? What do you think? So they saw him with them, but then that bread was no longer bread. It was the body of Christ. They consumed that, and that filled them with joy. Filled them with joy that came from the risen Jesus Christ. So they return back to Jerusalem where they left. They encounter the apostles there, and they tell the apostles that they had seen the risen Lord. And they encountered him in the breaking of the bread. They saw the risen Lord and they encountered him in the breaking of the bread. But they said this, did not our hearts burn within us as he explained the word of God to us? Did not our hearts burn within us as he explained the word of God to us? Our hearts burn within us. Hopefully you can say during the exercises, did not your hearts burn within you as you encountered Jesus Christ, as he walked with you? And he talked with you. And he became your friend. He became your companion. He became your confidant. He became the one that you love most in your life. So this contemplation is a summary of all these exercises. The summary of all that we've been doing these past 9 weeks. We tried to explain to you the rules for discernment. The 14 rules we gave you, the sheet, try to explain it piecemeal, you know, 5 at a time, and another 4, and then another 6. We tried to explain them to you. At least we're beginners in what's called the art of spiritual discernment. I hope so. You're doing your daily exam, and that will help you to live out these exercises. But one of the essential points in this contemplation of the road to Emmaus is this. We're all called to joy. We're all called to be joyful. Of all that Pope Francis has written, he's written a lot in a few years. The joy of the gospel is my favorite. This is first encyclical, The Joy of the Gospel. I really love that. And all of us are called to be joyful. Some of you go to work, you still work?
Yes.
So when you go to work, everybody is filled with joy, right?
Yes.
Everyone there is filled with Easter joy. Right, Joe? Everyone. No? Right, Mimi? Everyone's just filled with joy. You arrive, they just want to give you just an Easter hug, huh? Like a bear hug, an Easter hug? You go to work, people are angry. They're confused. They're bitter. They're sarcastic. Sometimes backbiting. Chismosos, right? Chismosos doesn't mean people eat cheese, but rather it's a gossip, okay? You know, all of your colleagues at work, they want to be happy. But they're looking for happiness in the wrong place. They want to be happy, but they're looking for happiness in the wrong place. Well, look at these two disciples. They started out depressed, sad, confused, arguing among themselves. They did. But out of nowhere, the situation changed. Why? Because they started walking away from the church and without Jesus Christ. Then Jesus Christ seemed to come out of nowhere and was walking with them. He was walking with them. He was listening to them. He was talking to them. He was invited by them. He sat down with them. He broke bread for them. Even allowed them to do the most intimate thing. He allowed them even to consume him. It's called the bread of life. So you see these exercises. We're in our 10th week, which is the last week of the exercises. You want to experience true joy. True joy. Authentic joy. You have to see the disciples on the road to Emmaus as the example for you. You're called to walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Be aware of Jesus' presence in your meditation and outside of your meditation. St. Paul quoted a Greek poet, one of my favorite verses in the Acts of the Apostles. He quoted a Greek poet. He doesn't give the name of the poet, but he says this, "In him we live and move and have our being." I love that. Don't you? In him we live and move and have our being. One of your friends, Fulton Sheen, hopefully he's your friend, said that the human person has three fundamental desires. He's the desire to know, to love, and to live. To know. Isn't that the meditation of the Word of God? To love. Isn't that the most important affection of the human heart is to love? Isn't that the fruit that we told you to beg for in the eighth week? Intimate knowledge in you, that you love him more ardently, that you follow him more closely. You prayed for that the whole week. To live. Isn't that principle and foundation we're called to praise God, reverence God, serve God, and by means of that to save our soul? I'm talking about living forever. Not just living in our temporal life, but living in our supernatural life. In him we live and move and have our being. So walking with Jesus, talking to Jesus, listen to Jesus. But this is very important. We're called to invite him to be with us. Stay with us, Lord, because the sun is going down. Now, I've thought about this over the past year and a half. Joe, if I live to be 80, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I've already lived more than 75% of my life. I'm close to the other part of the bridge, if I can use that image. No? If I live to be 80, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Maybe I will. I don't know. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. I've already lived more than 75% of my life. Guess I'm betraying my years, huh? How short life is. How short life is. As the poet says, we're like the flower of the field that rises in the morning and dries and dies as the sun goes down. One of the Psalms. No? Remember when I was a kid, I was sitting next to my father and he'd be smoking his pipe with a big cigar and he'd be blowing out donuts, no? Little circles. I tried to put my finger into those donuts. Every time I did, it disappeared. No? Kind of like life. Those donuts disappear, don't they? Last point I'd like to make is this. We talked about Mass at the beginning of the talk. Some of you are trickling in, you didn't hear what I said. Listen to it on podcast, okay? But anyway. The Disciples on the Road to Emmaus is a model of Mass. Because when Jesus is walking with them and he's talking to them, that's called the Liturgy of the Word, which is the first part of Mass. It's a Liturgy of the Word. What do we have? Jesus there, who's listening to them. He's explaining to them what? The readings of the Old Testament that apply to him. That's the Liturgy of the Word. Never go to Mass on Sunday? First reading, Old Testament, right? Second reading, St. Paul. Third reading is the Gospel. Who is walking with them? The living Gospel, Jesus Christ, the Logos, which is Greek for the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The second part of Mass is called the Eucharistic Liturgy. Liturgy of the Eucharist. When he took bread, he blessed the bread, he broke the bread, and he gave the bread. That's what he did there when he enters that little house. That little house is symbolic of the church. The bread that he took is symbolic of the Eucharist. The breaking the bread is what he did at the Last Supper, what the priest does in every Mass. And as a result of that, they are filled with joy. So if you really want to experience joy in your lives, you have to live the Emmaus experience, which was an amazing experience too. The Emmaus experience was an amazing experience. Yeah, there you go. Okay. I like that. It was amazing. So we have to learn to walk with Jesus and talk to Jesus and listen to Jesus and invite Jesus and sit down at the table with Jesus and break bread with Jesus, open our hearts to Jesus, receive Jesus in the depths of our hearts. If we do that, we will be filled with joy. And the joy will be so intense that we won't be happy until we share this joy with others. What you have received, give freely. And eventually, you'll have the greatest gift of eternal joy by going to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So, I'd like to thank, as we end this course, I'd like to thank Mary and Paul and our facilitators. I'd like to give them an applause and thanksgiving for the work that they've done. And I'd like to close by saying a Hail Mary, praying that all of you will persevere. Okay? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among us, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. The intercession of Mary, St. Joseph, St. Francis Xavier, all God's angels and saints, may God bless you and give you the gift of perseverance so that you recognize that true joy comes by being and being united with Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you.